We have been called to a covenant journey with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to experience for ourselves the glory of who He is and who He came to be.
I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him. Precious Lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew Him like I know Him, you would know that He's alive.
Hear the cry days of the shackle from the onset of time. For the chains of defeat, there's no key. See the tears of the broken, the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free? Then the crying is still as the chorus rings out. The shackled released from their chains, and thousands of voices are swelling the song. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Then all the archangels, the saints of all time, holding their crown in their hand, fall down before Him, joining the song. Thou art worthy, worthy the Lamb, worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Praise Him, praise Him, praise the Lamb that was slain. Praise Him, praise Him, praise the Lamb that was slain. Praise the Lamb that was slain.
Well, amen and amen. Good morning, church, wherever you might be.
The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And if you would, I would ask you to please pray with me this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege that's ours to be here today. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive and well, and we thank you so much for loving us that much to send Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross for us. And I thank you that he's no longer in that grave, that he is risen, that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And thank you that he still gives intercession for us every day. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you are, for all that you do. Lord, I thank you for each one who is listening in this morning from wherever. Bless their lives, Lord, in a very, very special way. And bless us, Father, as we are able to have church together, Lord, because we are the church. And we thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mark.
Good morning, Lena Vista Baptist Church. Let's start our service this morning, or continue our service by singing, He Lives. I've served a risen Savior. He lives in the world today.
But an angel appeared and said to them, "Don't be afraid. This Jesus you're looking for is no longer here. He is risen, just like he said."
Serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my eyes. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first
Kenny.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Today I want to share with you some information about how we're going to be doing church over the next little while. As you know, we are streaming this through our website. That website is Lena Vista Baptist Church, FL.org, or you can pick us up on Facebook. You go to Facebook, you type in Lena Vista Baptist Church, you'll see a picture of the church. There should be a way for you to get on there. If that's what you've done this morning, thank you so much for doing that with us. I wanted to let you know that our service times are going to be at 10:40 on the a.m. Normally, it will be at 6 o'clock in the p.m. I want to remind you there will be no p.m. Service or broadcast tonight. We're going to be doing this at least through the end of the month or until we get further notice. The food ministry that we have will remain open on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. So if you need food, you please come and see us here. Our Wednesday night meal and our choir practice that we normally have on Wednesday night, those have been suspended to further notice. And as you already know, our sunrise service was suspended, but we are here for today. We are here to celebrate a risen Savior. And I just want to thank you so much for listening, and may God bless all of you.
Let's continue this worship service by singing Because He Lives.
Because He lives.
good singing this morning. Before Brother Kenny comes and preaches, we're going to listen to a David Phelps song, He's Alive.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, cause I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
He's alive, and I'm forgiven.
Well, amen and amen. He is indeed alive, and in this day of bad news, it seems like every day we get more bad news. The good news, my friends, the good news, the really, really good news, is that He is alive. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is alive and well at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I. What a great Savior we serve. If you brought that Bible with you, or you found that Bible at home, I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 20. This is a great story. Much of this story is about the same thing that David Phelps just sang about, beginning with verse 1 and chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Follow with me if you would. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in unto the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to worship together. Father, we realize that it's the people that's the church, not the building. And Lord, no matter where we are this morning, we have the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, to worship you, to say thank you, to praise you, to glorify you for all that you are and all that you have already done, that you continue to do. So, Father, this morning my prayer is simple. Lord, would you speak to me? Would you reveal to me what you want me to know and understand? And Lord, would you speak through me as well, that the words that are being heard this morning, Lord, would be from you and not from me. Father, I ask you to open up hearts and minds, to soften hardened hearts, to open up minds, Lord, that might be closed to something totally different than what they're used to hearing. Lord, we thank you for loving us like you do. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you're alive. And today, Father, as your children, we absolutely celebrate this Easter Sunday morning. Yes, it's different, but in some ways it's the same. Because you're still alive and well. We are still your children and blessed. So we ask you to bless this time for your glory, for our growth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The scripture is very clear here. Jesus, having been crucified and removed from the cross, according to chapter 19, verse 34, will soon be buried. Two men come to get his body, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. That's chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. They requested his body from Pilate, and he was given that permission to get it. So they take Jesus' body and they wrap it in linen cloths. They apply a mixture of myrrh and aloe, somewhere between 80 and 100 pounds worth, and they place him in a brand new tomb in the garden. Now, by every appearance, my friends, this looks like the end. It looks like it's over. Mary Magdalene, we're told here in verse 1, she comes very early in the morning to the tomb. And while it was yet dark, is what the scripture says. And what she found was a stone that was rolled away. Now, tombs then occasionally would have large round stones that were rolled in a trench in front of an opening in a wall or in the side of a mountain or whatever. The tombs weren't like we're understanding them with coffins. There would be room to walk in there, to kneel down, to look around, and to make sure that the grave was not robbed by robbers or the body was decimated by the entrance from wild animals or whatever the case might be. They rolled a big, large stone, and like I said, in a trench over the doorway. Well, when Mary got there, what she saw really opened up her eyes, and it was an aha moment for her. It was a wake-up call for her. She realized very clearly that stone that was supposed to be covering the entrance to the sepulcher was rolled away. And she looked closely enough to the point where she did not see the body of Jesus in that tomb. So what did she do? Scripture says very clearly that she ran. Verse 2, she came to Simon Peter and to that other disciple whom Jesus loved. We know that that's John. And she says to them, well, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they've laid him. Now, that was her interpretation of what she saw in the tomb. Her understanding was somebody has come and gotten the body of Jesus. They have taken him away, and we don't know where that body is at this particular point. We don't know where they have laid them or laid him. So when Peter and John heard that, they took off toward the sepulcher. That's verse 3. Verse 4 says, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and they came first to the sepulcher. Normally, information like that would have been suspect, especially coming from a woman. No disrespect here, none meant, but at the same time, there was other times that they were given information, and they doubted it very seriously. But Peter and John, for some reason, they took it at face value. They decided, well, we're going to go and we're going to see for ourselves what's going on here. So they took off. They ran. Peter and John ran. And John arrived first there, verse 4. And verse 5 says, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, but yet he did not go in, basically. So John stooped down and he looked in. He saw the linen clothes that were wrapped around the body of Jesus, but he didn't go in to the tomb. Now, the scripture goes on to tell us that when Simon Peter got there, he went into the tomb, and he saw apparently the same things that John had seen, that the linen clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in when he was buried was laying there by themselves, but there was no body in those clothes. So verse 7 says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together by itself. Now that's what Peter saw. He got a little bit better look than John did at the very beginning. So he went in and he saw those things, began to think about that. Then it says very clearly that verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and it says he saw and he believed. And what they did not know yet, basically, and I don't know why they did not know, because Jesus had told them over and over again that he was going to be crucified, that he would be buried, and 3 days later that he would rise from the grave victoriously. The scripture tells us here that they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So after seeing the empty tomb, what they did was apparently they just went back home. It says they went unto their own homes. Now, those are the verses that describe for us the biblical account of what took place. There are a lot of theories about whether or not Jesus really died, and I won't spend the time this morning to get into all those theories, but here's the truth of the Word of God. Yes, he really died, but yes, he really rose again from the dead. Our entire Christian faith hinges on an empty tomb. It hinges on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says very clearly in John chapter 19, 30, he said, it is finished. That was the words of Jesus himself. It is finished. And it said he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. So my friends, according to the scripture, according to the truth that we trust and that we believe, Jesus really died. But we celebrate not so much the death, but we celebrate that resurrection this morning. The scripture in chapter 19 also says that a Roman soldier pierced his side to make sure that he was dead. Bottom line, he was dead. Now listen, these guys did this for a living. These Roman soldiers, it wasn't their first crucifixion. They were professional soldiers. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to do their job. I heard a guy say one time, well, I don't really believe that the tomb was empty, and I really believe that the stone was rolled away so that Jesus could get out. I think he just got knocked out. He hadn't had any water. He hung there for a long time, and they thought he was dead, and they took him down, and they put him in this big old cold tomb, and all of a sudden the coolness in there revived him. He came back to life, and he pushed that stone out of the way, and he got out. That's not what the Word of God says, my friends. Some people would want you to believe that the stone was rolled away so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. I believe that it was rolled away so that Mary and Peter and John could get in and see for themselves the reality of the moment. They could see for themselves that the tomb was absolutely and really empty. The question is, you know, why was it empty? Was Jesus really alive when he got out on his own? No. Was Jesus dead and somebody come in and stole the body like Mary had thought? No. Was Jesus alive, or did he really die? And was he raised again just like he said he did or was? And I agree with that. What opened up this whole passage of Scripture for me, and those of you who are members of Lena Vista Baptist Church, for the last two Easters, you've heard me preach something like this message, bits and pieces of this. And I want to give credit to an author that I am so impressed with and have been impressed with for many years. His name is Charles Swindoll. He's written a book called The Darkness and the Dawn. And I read that book, and it literally changed my understanding of this trip to the tomb by not only Mary, but by Peter and John. What's in a story? We're given information. It seems almost too simple. It seems almost too good to be true. It seems very hard to believe that the guy that was dead, he was put in a tomb. There's a stone rolled over. Other gospels said that that was guarded by Roman soldiers. The last thing they wanted was a resurrection. The last thing they wanted was Jesus coming back to life. So they put soldiers in place to guard that tomb to make sure that nothing was going to happen to the body. But as I looked at Charles Swindoll's book, and you know me, those of you who know me from the church know that I'm a word study kind of guy. I love to know the definitions of words, especially from the original language. And I want to spend a few minutes with you now and share with you the meaning of the word saw in verse 5, in verse 6, and in verse 8. In our English translation, we get the same word. John saw, Peter saw, and John once again saw. And in the English language, it's the same word, and in our minds and in our hearts, we might realize that it probably means the same thing. Well, the interesting part about this, and I thank Charles Swindoll for this, he said there's three different words in the Greek language. Each verse has a different definition for the word saw, and I want to share those with you this morning. This passage really comes to life when you begin to realize the process, and then I want to make a personal application and an application for us as we live in this particular day and time. Verse 5 says that John got to the tomb. He stooped down and he looked in and he saw the linen clothes lying, but he did not go into the tomb. That word in the Greek is blepo, and what it means is a casual glance. John ran to the tomb. He beat Peter there, but when he got there, he did not go into the tomb. He stopped short of the tomb and he gave it a casual glance. He just looked in there for a moment. Sometimes we see a whole lot of stuff in our peripheral vision, and sometimes we focus on little. John did not spend very long in his first look. He just casually looked in there. I liken it sometimes to kind of driving on the interstate. We see a whole lot of stuff going on around us, but we only focus on a couple of things, and sometimes we're not even focusing on that which is in front of us or around us. John did not give this whole reality a very good look. Then you get down to verse 6. And it says, then comes Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. That's a completely different word. That word in the Greek is thereo. We get our word theory from that. It's a deep kind of thinking, a careful observation, a closer look. You know, Peter took a really close look, and he tried to put all the pieces of what he was seeing together. Have you ever taken a look at something and you couldn't quite figure out what it was you were actually seeing? You could see something or someone and you couldn't quite put it all together, what it is that you were looking at. Couldn't put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Peter saw grave clothes, but he didn't see a body. He saw a head wrap that was separated from that, but it didn't have a head in it. He saw an empty tomb. He saw all this, but there was no occupant in the tomb. The testimony of the other Gospels, especially Luke chapter 24, verse 12, said that Peter began to wonder in his own heart, in his own mind, what it was that had come to pass there. Verse 20 or verse 9 of this chapter that I read here says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must again rise from the dead. So put yourself in Peter's place for just a minute. Mary comes and tells you that there's an empty tomb. There's a stone rolled away, and where Jesus is supposed to be buried, he is not there. Apparently somebody has opened up that tomb and they've taken him. Now you've been with Jesus for right around 3 years. You've heard him teach. You've seen him do miracles. He told you over and over again that this was going to happen at the end of his earthly life. But yet you could not seem to get that through your head. It did not seem to register for you that's what Jesus was talking about. Peter heard a lot of that. It just didn't register. He's kind of like us. Sometimes we hear a lot of things. Sometimes we hear the truth every week from somebody or a different group of somebodies. We hear truth being placed in our ears, but yet somehow it just doesn't hold together. We just don't get it. Peter was trying. Give him that kind of a credit. What would you feel like if you ran there and you saw what he had been wrapped in, but there was no body in that wrap? I have a hard time trying to put myself in that place. I don't know how I would feel, even if I had been taught like these guys had been taught. But now John decides he's going to do what Peter did. Verse 8 says, then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher. It says, and he saw and believed. That's a different word again for the word saw. It's the word oida. It's to form a mental perception, okay? To understand, to realize in the mind what has taken place. John sees it all. He has an aha moment, so to speak. Sometimes we look at stuff and we go, okay, I get that. I can figure that out. I can see that. I know how that might work. Yeah, I'm going to put all these pieces together. I got all the pieces here. And I'm putting it together. Oh, so that's what he meant when he said to us those words. Okay, now I get it. Now I understand it. I have a clear perception, a clear understanding. I realize that what he said was absolutely true. I realized that what he said was going to happen actually happened. This empty tomb is here because he said he was going to rise from the dead. And he did. So John gets it. He finally gets his head around this. He sees it all. Those of you who are members of the church may have heard this illustration from me before, but I want to give you a personal illustration of how that works. A number of years ago, I used to work at Coca-Cola in Lakeland, the bottling company. And we had our two sons, and Mark was about 7, and Brian was about 3. And I had taken a promotion up to being a supervisor at the plant there. And there was this particular day on a Saturday. We didn't normally work on Saturdays, but on this particular Saturday, they called us in to work. And we had guys out on the road, and I got all my guys checked out. And I was sitting in the break room there. And Diane called and she said, "Hey, listen, I'd like to bring some chicken out for you guys. The boys really want to see you." Because, see, I hadn't seen them awake since Monday night. And you have to understand, all of the time that I spent earlier on in my lifetime with my boys is a very, very special time. We still have special times together as it is even now. Some of our vacations involve our boys, and it's a tremendous blessing. But here I'm all invested in my work, and I'm out there, and I hadn't seen them, either one of them awake since Monday night, and this is a Saturday. So Diane shows up with a big bucket of chicken, and we're sitting around the table in the break room, and I don't know why, even to this day, but the plant manager, John Reese, happens to stop by, and it's probably the middle of the day. He's in his short pants and T-shirt. He's been off all day. He comes by, and he looks over at my boys, and I think he looked at Mark specifically, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing out here at this old Coca-Cola plant on a Saturday? I figured you'd be playing ball or fishing or doing something." Mark had a piece of chicken in his mouth, and he looked up at John Reese. I'll never forget it. He looked up at John Reese, and he said, "Hey," he said, "Mr. Reese, if we're going to get to see our daddy anymore, we have to come out here." It was like, I wanted to just fall out of my chair. I looked over at my wife, and her mouth was hanging open, and I know mine was hanging open. I looked up at John Reese, and his mouth was hanging open as well, because here this 7-year-old had put some wisdom in our ears. That made a lot of sense. You're working way too much. There are boys and a wife who needs you. That was my aha moment. Not that I want any glory or praise, but the following Monday morning, I went in and said to John Reese, I said, "Here's the deal. I need to talk to you." He said, "I know. Have a seat." John was a great Christian guy, best manager I ever served under in my life. I said, "Look, my kids are more important than my work. You need to find a place for me." Yeah, I don't mind getting emotional, because this is about people that I love and that I care about. How many days had I been gone and didn't know how that absence was affecting my boys and my wife? I said, "John, you got 2 weeks. You can either find me a route or I'm done. Listen, I don't have any shame at all with these tears, because you see, we need to get it. We need to see it. Jesus died for you and me and all who will believe. This is not just some crusty old story from 2,000 years ago. This is the real deal, my friends. The real deal. And here's how it applies. It's so much like today. On any other Sunday morning, this place would be almost full. And you'd be sitting there listening to the same message that you're listening to here. But sadly enough, the reality of the moment would be that many of you would choose to listen and give Jesus a casual glance, like John did. You might give him a little look, because it's Easter and somewhere down deep inside you figure maybe you should be in church, so you show up. And he gets that day. But did he really get it? Or did you just tolerate it? Some of you will hear this message. You'll know without a shadow of a doubt that it's absolutely true, because it comes from the Word of God. And you'll pretty much turn off your Facebook or shut off your streaming, and you will go about your day, and you'll be the same as you was when you turned it on. Please hear my heart here. I am not criticizing you. I am not judging you or making fun of you. It's just the fact of the matter. How do I know that? Because I did it myself for years. I sat in front of enough gospel to save the whole world 1,000 times over. And all I ever gave that truth was a casual glance. I came in one way and I left exactly the same way because it did not matter enough for me to give it a good look. Here on this Easter Sunday morning in 2020, you have an opportunity that may have never stared you in the face before. Some of you listening out there may never step foot in a church anywhere on the planet, but you're listening in for some reason this morning. I don't call this coincidence. I call this divine appointment, and I hope that you'll stay with me till this is done. Even an empty tomb couldn't cause his own disciples to understand right away. And they had been taught, they had been informed, they should have understood, but even that empty tomb could not seal it completely for them, not all of them anyway. For some, it's going to take Jesus' return or their death for them to finally believe and to understand. And the sad reality of that moment is if you step out into your eternity without knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's going to be too late. And your eternity is going to be messed up forever. So the question winds up being, how will you see Jesus today? If you see him at all. If you're lost today, he's still dead to you and the resurrection means nothing. Have you only given him a casual glance and can you be satisfied with that to just walk away? Or have you, like John, on his second look in, given that empty tomb a really, really close look, the kind of look that's life-changing? And are you going to walk away from here a believer? Or when you turn that radio off this morning or that Facebook, wherever it comes through, are you going to turn that off this morning being a brand new person? The good news is that you can. The resurrection says that you, by all means, you can. Many of you listening today are going to be like those of us who believe. We're going to celebrate a risen Savior, the giver of life today, the one who defeated death. We need to celebrate. We continue to celebrate. We're going to celebrate on. He is risen, alive and well. Some of you are listening today. You can't celebrate because Jesus is not your Savior, and the empty tomb means little or nothing to you. But here's the better news of all. You don't have to leave that way. The cross, the tomb, the resurrection, all of these things were for all who believe, for you and for me. God's awesome love is displayed by Jesus Christ on the cross, by the burial, by the resurrection, and it's for a lost and dying world. So I want you to make sure that you don't end this process today in unbelief. How will you see Jesus today? I pray that it will be more than just a casual glance. My prayer is that you'll take a real good look. I'm talking about a really, really close look at the truth of this book. I believe that every word here is absolutely true. I believe that when John finally had his aha moment, what he did was what I would want you to do today. He believed. That means he accepted those things that he saw, not only with his eyes, but with his mind and with his heart. He believed those things to be absolutely true. He put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. And in that moment, my friend, he left that tomb a changed man. And I believe we have this gospel because of what happened at the tomb. We have many things that John has written to us and other writers have written to us, Peter as well. An empty tomb makes all the difference in the world, my friends. Believing that Jesus is alive and well makes all the difference in the world. Believing that he did this for you and I makes all the difference in the world if we will receive it and claim it as our own. So would you see Jesus this morning and believe? Would you trust him as your Lord and Savior? Would you make sure that you don't waste this moment, especially my friends, if for you it is indeed an aha moment. Maybe today's the first day in your entire life that the good news of the gospel is finally spoken to your mind and to your heart and to your emotions. And if that's the case, I want to pray with you this morning. I'm going to ask you very simply. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And if you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer simply after me. You can pray it silently in your home. You can pray it out loud. But please mean it if you do pray it. Please mean it with all of your heart. And I'm going to ask you then, at this particular time, wherever you are, if you'll just bow your head and pray with me this moment. Lord Jesus, I realize that you died for me, that you rose again for me, that you're at the right hand of your Father in heaven, interceding for me, that I might get it, that I might have a real aha moment. Lord, I admit that I am a sinner lost in my sin and that I need a Savior and that you're that Savior. Lord, I believe that you were indeed the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah sent from heaven. Lord, I believe that with all my heart. And today, Lord, I also confess my sins to you. I admit that and I confess that I am lost. I confess to you that you are the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I confess my sins. I realize that I cannot save myself. I can never be good enough to save myself. So I gladly receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And today, I see you for the first time ever. We love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you are and all that you do. It's in the sweet name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, several things need to happen. You need to tell somebody. If you're a member of this church and you prayed that prayer, I would love to know about that. You can call the church office. You can call my cell phone, 640-1038. I would love to hear from you. If you're a member of another church somewhere, please tell your pastor, tell somebody in your church. If you don't have a church, you don't have a pastor to tell, find one somewhere. There's many, many churches around here. I'd love to have the opportunity to sit down and talk to you or talk with you if that would be your choice. So thank you so much for listening in today. May you have a wonderful, blessed Easter. He is alive and well. May God bless you.